Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. I'm excited to be joined tonight by Sherry from San Francisco. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm a little nervous, but I'm very glad to be here.
Great. I'm excited to have you on the air.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about Mad Moon and Simply Celebrate and Practice, and it sounds like they're all kind of related.
They are, and that's what I'm so excited about. Actually, right before I was on the call, I was just sitting here feeling so grateful for the practice and how it has brought so many things into my life. And a couple of the things are Mad Moon, which is a business that I have creating one-of-a-kind books for special occasions. And the thing about the books that I feel is so connected to the practice is that they really celebrate the smallest things about who someone is. They really celebrate sort of just the general essence. People don't have to have grand successes or what have you to be loved. And I think that's the thing that I so love about the books.
Yes, yes. Because in my experience, conditioning would tell me that, you know, I'm really nothing because I haven't achieved this or haven't achieved that. And yet it sounds like what you're saying is it's those little kindnesses that are really valuable.
Yes. And so what I do is I collect stories and photographs from someone's closest friends and family, and they end up telling me all of these wonderful things like, you know, I love the way he laughs, or I love the way that he always remembers this special thing about me, or just it's just the smallest things, and they're so wonderful. They're just so full of gratitude and love.
Yeah.
And I feel like I get to benefit. The thing that I love so much about them is that it's like I get to offer this as a gift, but then I really get to benefit so much from it as well.
It sounds like you get to share in that wonderful warmth and kindness and appreciation that people are sharing.
I do. And the thing that I love, too, is the people who participate in the book, not even just the gift recipient, but even the people participating also get to have all of that. And
yes.
So I feel like I've sort of got this phrase that I use all the time, which is circle of giving. And
uh-huh.
I feel like that's what happens. You know, I get to give, the participants in the book get to give to the recipient, and then the recipient's joy sort of gives back to me. And I just love that.
Yes. Circle of giving is the word you used.
Yes.
Yeah, I get the sense of giving and receiving all being the same, sort of all aspects of opening our hearts.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, exactly.
Great. So that's Mad Moon.
That's Mad Moon.
And Simply Celebrate is?
And Simply Celebrate is a gift book I created. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little feedback. It's a gift book I created that a friend of mine is an illustrator, and he did all the illustrations, and it's 101 ways to bring celebration into everyday life.
Uh-huh.
So it's very, very simple things, and obviously, or hopefully it'll be obvious, so much of it has come from our practice, which is a way of just being in the world and being present to the world and finding celebration in exactly what's in front of us.
Uh-huh. Being in the world, being present to our world, and celebrating whatever happens to be here in front of me.
Right. I have a good example of something that just happened right before the call.
Oh, good, okay.
Which is I'm petrified to speak in public, and this is kind of like speaking in public, so it
fit
right into that category. I just have this extreme fright, and I was really looking at that, and I was really trying to reassure the person who was feeling so scared. And I thought, okay, well, maybe you could come up with like a Simply Celebrate kind of thing to do to, you know, to offer this person who's so scared. And so what I did was I created this space for her where she would be on the phone where, you know, I lit a candle, I put the meditation bell, I put her favorite hat, and I kind of just created this little world for her so that she could celebrate being scared.
Great.
And that's like one of the things that I try and offer through the book is it's, you know, some of the things are really fun and light and whimsical, and other things are, you know, sort of how do we celebrate some of the those other parts that sometimes we don't so much want to celebrate.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. You know what's coming up, as you mentioned that, is from the depression book, when Sherry talks about having a depression party.
Yes.
And we're all going to wear black clothes and we're going to have a black cake and celebrate being depressed.
And I love that. I've always remembered that from that book. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Yes.
And I feel like our practice, I mean, it's just, it's one of the things that I'm so grateful to the practice for is it, that, to me, that's a lot of what the practice is it's really about celebrating everything, you know, things that people might normally celebrate, but also a lot of things that people might not normally celebrate.
Yes.
You know, it's embracing it all.
Yes, and as you say that, I really get a sense of accepting everything that comes into my life. And, you know, when I'm disidentified enough, I can appreciate everything that comes in, whether some part of me, quote, likes it or, quote, doesn't like it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what, you know, I feel so grateful, even again, just for in this moment, like watching the part of me that was so nervous and wanted to just put it aside, was, you know, someone who wanted to be perfect, you know,
yeah.
God, I wish I could be like all those other people. But it was that moment of turning and saying, hi, I'm with you, you know, this is okay, let's make this fun, let's make the panic fun.
Yes.
And I feel like that is what the practice has given me.
Yes.
And what I feel so excited then to be able to, in my own way, and in my own words, to sort of try and offer back to people. And,
uh-huh.
And I feel really fortunate because the person who illustrated the Simply Celebrate book is actually, his name is Greg Bracken, and he's the one who gave me the key way back in 1990.
Uh-huh, and Sherry's book, The Key.
Yeah, The Key. That's how I became familiar with the practice.
Yeah.
And so there's that wonderful connection for me, too, of this very talented artist who introduced me to the practice.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so if I wanted to get a copy of Simply Celebrate, how would I go about doing that?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, one of the things that came up for me around this is this idea that was given to me of that I would like to offer the book on a donation basis. I normally sell it through my website, and I just thought, you know, what I would love to do is, in the spirit of the practice, to just offer it to open-air readers as a gift, and if it was valuable to people, they could send me whatever they wanted, and I would love to then donate part of those proceeds to Living Compassion, and I would also like to pass on some money to the artist who helped me so much with the book.
Yeah.
And so people could simply email me with their address and their name. Shall I give you the email address?
Sure, yes.
It's Sherry, Sherry, at simplycelebrate.net.
Great. So let me just read that back. Sherry, Sherry, at simplycelebrate.net.
Yep.
And as you were describing what you would do with the proceeds, I really got that sense again of the circle of giving.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think that was just so wonderful. I didn't feel like it was my idea. It just kind of came into me.
It just came in, yeah.
And I was so excited about that. That again, it's like the practice is what inspired the book, and then I feel like I can offer the book to people, and if they feel that it was a gift to them, they could give me something, and then I could give it back to, again, to the practice and to the people that helped bring the book into the world.
Yes, yes. And my experience with practice over time is that when I let go of that kind of clinging, grasping, me, mine, everything is all about me, that when I can let go of that, there's a lot of giving and receiving that becomes much more natural and much more relaxing and much easier, and it's a lot less suffering for me.
I love just hearing you say that. Yes, yes.
And here's a perfect example of it. It's simply celebrate.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to the practice.
Yes, yes, I am too. It's a blessing beyond words that I can explain or enumerate. Or
no, exactly, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, do you have an example of a Simply Celebrate item that you'd like to share with us before you go today?
Oh, well, one of my favorites is that it's a very simple thing of whether it's taking a dollar, a $5 bill, or a $10 bill and hiding it somewhere out in the world for someone to find anonymously.
Uh-huh.
And it's one that it brings me joy all the time when I do it because you never know who's going to find it or what it's going to mean to them. But I always imagine that people will feel some sense of great abundance and delight and surprise. So That's a very simple one. But
yes, yes. Take a $1 bill or a $5 bill and put it out there for someone to find.
Yeah.
Great. Sherry, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Howdy, Michael.
Howdy. Long time no talk.
Huh?
Long time no talk.
Long time no talk. That was really fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Hide money for somebody. One of the other things that's like that to me that's so much fun is like at the bridge toll place.
Yes.
People will talk about paying for the car behind them.
Yes.
You know, and the car pulls up to pay, and, you know, it's already been covered. You know, it's
yes.
just that moment of feeling so, loved and given to and supported and appreciated, and it's a great thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know, I heard about one last year around this holiday time at Starbucks, I think it was Starbucks, at the drive-thru, where people would pay for the coffee for the person behind them. And apparently this happens occasionally. I don't know if it's just the holiday season, but it went on for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Just one person after the other, after the other, after the other.
Because I pull up and somebody has bought mine, and so
yes.
I say, oh, well, then I'll buy for the and it just keeps going along. You know, there's no reason the whole world couldn't operate that way all the time, is there?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I heard another good story like that. Somebody was telling me that they read this in a magazine. I think it was actually People magazine. And so I might not have the story exactly right, but it goes something like this. A woman went with her son. They were looking at foreclosed houses. She was
yeah.
going to help him buy a house.
Yeah.
And they got to this one house, and there was a woman outside on the street crying. And the lady asked her why she was crying. She said, well, that she had bought this old farmhouse that are really inexpensively, and she had it moved to a lot, and she'd spent years fixing it up, and she just lost her job, and so she was losing the house.
Oh, wow.
And the woman bought the house and said, pay me back as you can.
Wow.
And gave the woman her house.
Wow.
Now that's one of those. Wow. People can be awfully good.
Mm-hmm.
We have great potential as
creators. We have great potential.
Yeah.
We have great potential. Yeah, and what so excites me about practice is I feel like I get more in touch with that potential.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because we choose to live our lives in relationship with that gratitude and possibility and that sort of thing. So when we're focused on that, of course, that's what we get. That's what we have. And the more we focus, the more we have, and the more we have, the more we want to focus on it, and it just really works well.
Yes. Yes, that's my experience.
Michael, can you hear that buzz on my phone?
Not too much. I hear a vague background something, but not much.
Not too bad. Okay. Well, I apologize
yeah.
in advance. The phones are all out where I live, and I've managed to find one phone that works, and it's having this kind of problem too. So anyway, if it's distracting to anybody, I apologize.
You know what's so funny is I was just, as the person perhaps most familiar with the technical workings of TalkShoe, I'm just out of my mind happy that we're not echoing back and forth.
Yes, congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank
I think
you.
The very last time I spoke with you, we were in an echo chamber.
It
so,
could have been.
Yeah.
So
well
you're
done.
You're going to have to create all kinds of noise on your end before I start getting in the least bit upset.
Okay, well, this is as bad as I'll try to have this as bad as it gets.
Good. Sherry, I have never seen so many lines of callers here
Good.
In a long time.
Well, we better get to them then, huh? I'm just rambling on like we have all the time in the world, and like there's nobody there waiting.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, your first caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Kieran. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm sorry, there's a slight delay here on my phone. I just heard you say, what?
Well, what's going on?
It's a mess here. It's totally a mess. I've been emailing these little help, help, help. I'm going under through the karma class that we've been doing.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I just realized last night as I was sending off another help, help, help message that it was Tuesday and I could call into the show.
Oh, very good. What do you need help, help, help with?
Well, there's this, for the best I can make of it, is it's almost like this giant ancient pain body. It's just such a victim. And our work in the class is all around the project. And it started about a week ago of just really conscious, like going at me 24/7 of just pulling the rug out from under me on the project. And
so
and getting,
can I stop you? Can I stop you there and ask you? So
yes.
is it voices that you're hearing? Is it a conversation that goes on that's undermining your efforts, or is it what?
Yeah, it's
how does it show
conversation
up?
And then a physical experience. But I kind of feel like I keep doing stuff. My project is a business that I've been in love with and trying to get off the ground. And I keep going forward and my efforts keep falling flat. And then the voices pipe up about, yes, that's always the case. I can work till I'm blue in the face and my fingers are bleeding and it will come to nothing because
uh-huh.
it never works out for me. Everyone else will get there, but you won't.
Uh-huh.
And then it keeps happening experientially, like these pieces that I had put into place, like clients that had made big orders suddenly canceling, and people who are joining my company suddenly bailing. Big meeting last night all the way across town, you know, like an hour and a half drive through the rainy city, and to meet seven people and all seven don't show up, you know, like, so physically the tasks are falling apart and the voices in my head are just, for the last week they were kind of this noxious thing where the reassurances were helping. But by the time yesterday hit, it was just screaming in my head about what an utter failure I am at life.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
and it
let
telling me to
me
kill
ask,
myself kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, naturally. So let me ask you this. If this were happening to somebody else, okay, just picture that these things are happening to somebody we don't know. At a certain point, if I were to say to you, so we're looking at this person and all this stuff, and it's just getting more and more and more extreme, more and more out there. If I were to say to you, doesn't it seem like somebody's trying to tell that person something? Would you be able to look at that and go, wow, yeah, that is kind of an obvious message, isn't it?
Yeah,
could
I mean,
you,
if the message is like, quit the business, like...
Or how about if the message is, if you wanted to see what you're up against, are you seeing it?
Yeah,
so you you sign on for a class called Living Beyond Karma. Because
and it's huge,
you want,
the karma.
Yeah, because you want to see what the karma is that has been stopping you all of your life. Are you seeing it?
It feels like hell. It's so big. And it's so old.
And it's so right here for you to see it. So let me suggest this. and see how it sounds. So there's that person, and they're going to, let's see, what are they going to do? They're going to start a whole inner city sports thing for underprivileged children, okay? And everything they do falls apart, doesn't work. People quit. They don't like it. Get hate mail just over and over and over. Person gets hit with this, gets hit with this, gets hit with this. And the conclusion that the person gets to is, I just need to quit this. Okay? Or what the person could do is start writing it all down. So when a voice says this, I believe that. When that happens, I make it mean that. When that happens, I think it's because of this. When that goes on, I take it personally in this way. When that happens, are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Because what if this doesn't have anything to do with starting sports things for underprivileged children, or in another case, say, starting a business? What if the whole point of it is for you or that other imaginary person who's easier to look at than, say, your life? What if the whole point is you get to see this really clearly? You get to change your relationship with it. You get to step back from it and realize that it actually doesn't have anything to do with you. That it's just karma, that if it didn't mean that, if it were just interesting, okay, if you weren't invested in, but what I'm trying to do is start this business, and it's all about me, and whatever happens is going to determine my worth as a human being, whether I'm acceptable and lovable. Are you going along with me on this?
I'm with you, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So by the time it gets through doing all of its worst to you, and you see it for what it is, you see it as this whole system of karma that keeps you in a certain place in life, because when it throws these things at you, these meanings and definitions and conclusions and realizations, when you see that all of this stuff doesn't mean that, then you're free to do whatever it is that you want to do. But as long as you believe that what the voices are interpreting is an accurate interpretation, you're going to always, you will always be stuck at the same place. Because the nature of karma is that it repeats itself over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's exactly what's happening. I keep reliving the same situation, it feels like, for the last 18 years.
Right.
And it's so
Groundhog
painful.
Day. Did you see the movie Groundhog Day?
Yeah, I love that movie. I just
yep.
love it.
Yep. And
I'm kind of in that place, and I think maybe that's why it's so loud. It's so screaming
oh,
at me.
Of course. Because
it's like I can feel it having its own life.
That's right. And the way it has always worked is that it does what it does to you, and you suffer. It does what it does, and you suffer. And that's the relationship. And that's the game. That's what egocentric karmic conditioning is all about. Okay? When you start to see it for what it is, what you're really seeing is a life beyond it, a possibility of not being in that relationship with it. All it can do as you begin to free yourself is escalate, in the hope that if it gets bad enough, you'll give in and go back to believing it and go back to that same low level. You know, you don't have to kill yourself, but that low level, my life is not what I want, it's never going to be what I want, see, it's really true, and you just feel bad and feed the karma. But the class that you signed up for was not how to successfully start a business. It was how to live beyond karma. And you're having the experience. Okay? So my encouragement to you, and let's give it a week or two, probably two, okay? Process map. Okay? Rub your hands together, get the biggest smile you can imagine on your face, and go after it. Instead of trying to start your business, oh, God, another failure and another beating, okay? Just get your pencil and your paper and get ready. What's it going to hit you with next? What's it going to say next? What's the meaning that's going to happen next? You do something, so you call another meeting, okay? You don't call another meeting to have the meeting. You call another meeting to see what karma's going to do. Okay, you call the meeting, and then you just get your pencil and paper and get ready to write down everything it says, everything you feel, everything that means, everything you believe. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yep.
Okay, there's your assignment, girl.
Okay.
You can do it. Okay? you have a lot of the rest of your life to start businesses. This is the time to see through the karma.
Okay.
All right, and then you'll let me know, right?
Yeah, I'll call you in 2 weeks and let you know how it's going.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And don't limit yourself to a pencil, okay? Make it colorful. Do the vicious stuff in red, and do the wild and crazy stuff in orange, and do the, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, make it
okay.
Vivid. All right.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining
Thanks
us.
For
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, the courage I project onto people.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? It is inspiring.
Very inspiring.
And I kept thinking, actually, as we were talking, but we were sort of focused on the content of the call. But I think about people like Martin Luther King Jr. or Gandhi or, you know, these heroic people who just continue to go up against these just really daunting, seemingly overwhelming challenges and know that it is their spiritual work.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about getting to a place and succeeding. It's overcoming, in our language, it's overcoming the karma.
Yes. Yes. It's big
and
it's
heroic.
Fine. Sure, we have another caller.
All right.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the line, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy calling from used to be New York, but now Florida.
Hey, Sandy, how are you?
I'm doing very, very well, and as always, I'd like to thank you and Michael for being there.
Well, it's our pleasure. Are you basking in sunshine now in Florida?
I have to tell you, I really am. It's warm and beautiful and wonderful.
And all those former neighbors of yours are up there not having that experience.
I'm afraid that's true. I have another thank you. I had an opportunity, kind of backwards there, but I had an ambulance ride in September that turned out to be something okay. But in the ambulance, of course, was a high stress moment, and all I could think of was Alex and the Voices cartoon with the Breath-O. And so I was lying there in the ambulance as they were doing their stuff and driving through the city going, Breath-O, Breath-O. So I want to especially thank Alex and let him know that his work is out there and doing a great job.
When it's most needed. Yeah, what a perfect time to have that to call upon.
And I was especially pleased that my mind went there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so for what it is like a testament to both of you. Alex's practice that produces something like that, your practice that takes advantage of it.
Yeah, Yeah, because of what he does and because I want it, it was there for me when I most needed it. So I was really grateful that both of us did our part there.
Exactly.
The reason I'm calling tonight, Sherry, is because I've had most of my adult life an issue with weight, gaining weight and then losing weight, then gaining it all back and then losing it. I've gone at the problem from therapy, nutrition, to joining the gym and working with a personal trainer. And so I'm kind of at a spot where I'm saying, is there another way? And I take practice to take a look at this issue.
Yeah. Well, how does it happen?
How does it happen?
Yeah. I mean, there you are. You've done whatever, and
right.
You've lost the weight. How does it come back?
I kind of lose my way in whatever I'm focusing on. Like when I went to therapy, I stopped going to therapy and was able to maintain it for a while. I went to an eating disorder clinic and worked at that, and I managed 7 years of no salt, no sugar, and no caffeine.
Wow.
But I white knuckle everything I do. I hired a personal trainer for a year and a half, and then when I wasn't working, I moved, I left New York and wasn't working with a personal trainer anymore, then, you know, I lost that. And so working with a nutritionist, you know, I did that. And then, of course, I've done Weight Watchers and Nutrisystem. And, you know, I even found a diet once in the 70s that was wine and cheese.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't.
Did it work?
It worked, but I couldn't maintain it for very long because I needed some other nutrients.
Oh, that's all you could have.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not kidding when I tell you I've tried everything. And the bottom line is almost everything works, but I can't maintain it. And
that's right.
So that leads me to believe that this really isn't about the nutrition or the exercise part of it, but it's more in my head, voices that I'm fighting with and voices that are supporting me and not supporting me, because I know all the answers in therapy. I know all the answers in nutrition. I know how to exercise, but I don't do it.
Yeah. So it's the combination of go unconscious, go along with the karma.
Yeah, go unconscious is the perfect way of saying it. I stop white knuckling and I lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is kind of funny, but what occurred to me when you were saying that, now, you know, I'm a big proponent of staying inspired. And I thought, well, that's really interesting, because you listed, what, 8 or 9 approaches that you know work. Each one of those has worked.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting if you did each one of those for a month?
Like alternating them, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I've never done that.
Well, because since you know that they all work, what often happens to us is that, are you people still there?
I am.
Okay, good. My phone is just going crazy. What happens is we go along and we get kind of habituated to something, and then it's hard to pay attention to it because we're not inspired. It is working, and therefore kind of that same issue in relationship of taking somebody for granted, you know, stopping attending to whatever. And so to go on a program where you would kind of call upon different aspects of you. So there's probably somebody who really likes going to the gym and working out. But after doing that for months and months or years and years and years, other people are there who don't have that as a need. So to constantly be changing your focus on diet, so you go on Weight Watchers, you have one way of relating to food. You go to Nutrisystem, you have a different way of relating to food. So it's not falling into that same pattern of, oh my God, I've been doing this forever. I cannot work up any enthusiasm for paying attention to this. And at that point, of course, conditioning can take our attention, turn it away to something else, and by the time we get our attention back, you know, we've lost the focus, gained the weight, you know, whatever it is that's going on.
That's very true.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about this, the thing I like about this, is that it would really require you to be accountable. You know, you'd have to stay conscious, because on the first of the month you're going to start a new program.
This is so unique. I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness.
And the thing that, you know, the thing that could go along with it that would be kind of fun is to do the 30-day Making a Change for Good retreat.
Yeah.
So to start one of those at the first of the month with whatever your new program is. So if it's going to be going to the gym, you know, you have to find the gym and, you know, you have to whatever it is, or you have to arrange the food, or you have to find out where the meetings are, or you have to, you know, whatever it is. And then you get to watch your process with this new content every month.
Wow. Well, it certainly is a new approach.
Yeah, could be fun.
Wow, thank you so much.
I'll
let
you
know how it
goes. Yeah, it would be really fun if you could, of course, if you could find some other people to do it with you.
Yeah.
It would be, that would be an even, you know, because then it would bring in the whole support and sangha and like that, but. Even
hoping to drag my husband along with me.
Oh, very good. Always good to drag a spouse.
I'm a hoping.
Well, let us know, okay? Because this could be the start of some giant nationwide movement of, you know, a new approach to diet and fitness.
The Stay Inspired, that's what I'm going to call it, Sherry's Stay Inspired program.
That's right. And that way, everybody gets to do everything.
And
you know,
you change it the first of the month.
Yeah, we don't have to choose, well, I do this system, or I do this system, or, you know, we just get to do them all.
I just met a gal this past weekend. It was kind of interesting. It was a little bit like that. She made a commitment to eat no sugar for 100 days. And after the end of the 100 days, she made a commitment to eat no carbs for 100 days.
Wow. Yeah, it's that same kind of process, isn't it? And
yeah.
So for 100 days, of course, that seems like a really long time. I'd probably be better off with a month. But anyway, it's a length of time that a person can kind of wrap themselves around. You know, it's not that forever I'm going to do this, and then when I don't, I'm a failure. You know, the thing that you have done actually has made you extremely successful in a whole bunch of different modalities.
It has.
But conditioning would say, no, you have failed because you didn't once and for all succeed at something that you set out to do. If you don't do it forever perfectly, you're a failure. But
exactly.
Actually, what you know is you have the ability to be very successful. You've proved that over and over and over.
I have. And
yeah.
I have been looking at it as a failure every time I have to go back into what I call my fat clothes, because my closet has at least 4 different size outfits. And I keep them because I can be 4 different sizes in the course of a year. And so every time I have to go back into my large size outfits, then I consider myself a failure again.
Right. Rather than, actually, you're just a very flexible person.
God bless you, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Let us know, Sandy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Always some good laughs, Sherry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's just conditioning. It's just so hateful. Because it's like with Sandy, I mean, they're just success after success after success after success. But conditioning can manage to paint it all in the colors of failure. So we just have to catch on to it.
We do. It's the only choice.
Yeah.
Okay, next caller, you are hopefully now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jerry. My name's Helen. I'm from London.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah, I was just wondering if I was sitting there waiting for Godot. Thinking maybe I'm not in the queue, and maybe I'll sit up here until 2 in the morning.
That's right. Maybe I'm just up in the middle of the night for nothing, actually.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on in your world besides you're missing a night's sleep?
Well, I was just wondering if we could pretend that it's just you and me having this conversation, and you know, no one's listening. I'm a bit nervous. But
it's just us chickens.
I'm just, I don't know, I've just got bad karma, I think, but I'm having difficulties at work at the moment.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really struggling with my karmic pattern of being scapegoated. And what's happening at work is that everything that happened to me as a child is just replaying itself. And I'm just finding it really, very, very painful that for some reason people see me in a negative light. And I sat in a meeting yesterday where my manager and this other colleague just reeled off this list of things that were wrong with me. And my inner world is quite fragile anyway, and to deal with the kind of my own inner negativity is, you know, it's constant work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute I'm in a situation where I'm having a lot of other people projecting and accusing me of all these things that are wrong with me, I just collapse. And last night I just really hit, quite a suicidal place, because, I mean, at that point, self-hate just was just like gone crazy. You know, my ability to kind of maintain a sense of reassurances and, you know, all the things that I do just cannot sustain the amount of attack that I feel I'm under at
right.
work.
Right. Well, external people are attacking and internal people are
yeah.
attacking, and the combination
yeah.
is difficult. Yeah. I mean, one or the other would feel like you might be able to stand up against it, but when it's that kind of concerted, concentrated effort inside and out, that's right.
Because I was on retreat in April, and I feel that this year I've made a massive breakthrough within my own inner negativity. And, you know, the place that I hit last night was quite familiar in the past, you know, where I just thought, well, you know, there's no point in you going on. This is always going to happen to you. Blah, 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 you know, and it was new for me to go there because I haven't been there for quite a while since I've been on retreat and since I've been really, excuse me, working on kind of trying to keep a more softer inner calm, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. What, the people at work, your manager and your colleague, what is their issue? What is it that they are saying is wrong with you?
One of the things they've said is that I'm a bully, and actually I'm feeling bullied. One of the things that they've said is that I'm too sensitive. One of my colleagues is just really, really angry with me. I don't even, to be honest,
okay.
I don't really understand.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
a lot of it. Yeah.
Right. So, okay. Because this is what were you on the line for the first call?
No. I mean, I almost hung up because I thought maybe that's just what I needed to hear. But you know, having
okay.
stayed up, I thought I'd hang on and speak to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it is a lot the same thing, isn't it? It's what you're working on is so much bigger than the circumstances that are causing it to show up. Yeah, because it's a lifetime pattern. So we know that's bigger than the circumstances of this job, right? Because if it were this job, then we could just say, oh, for God's sake, quit. You know, go find a job somewhere else. These people are, you know, this is unhealthy. This is no good. But what you know is that this is something that is a karmic pattern for you that is, we could say, your life work to get to the other side of this, right?
Yeah, and that's partly why I've stayed in the job, because I know that I'll just meet this again around the next summer.
Yeah. And so is there let me just tell you what I'm thinking, and then you can tell me if I'm way off base, okay? But if you're manager, you haven't been fired, so somebody thinks you're doing a good job anyway.
Yeah. No, it's not, nothing about my work. It's just about my personality.
About your personality. Okay.
Yeah.
And so do you think that you could manage to go to your manager and say, look, I want to work on this. Will you help me? Will you support me in this? Will you let me know? And then pick one. You know, you might pick write down the top five things that people accuse you of, okay? And because, you know, at a certain point, we know a couple of things. One is we are all qualities and characteristics. Everybody is. So, you know, am I a bully? Sure. On occasion, in certain circumstances, I am. Am I overly sensitive? Do I take offense too easily? Am I less than honest? You know, name a quality. We all have it. We all share it, okay? So it's not job one is to get over feeling bad or feeling defensive about it, because what difference does it make? So if everybody, for instance, I'll tell you a little something about myself, and that is that I am extremely shy, and all of my life, people have interpreted that as aloof. Okay? I'm not aloof at all.
Yeah.
I am shy.
Yeah.
So I, rather than wasting my time trying to defend myself against their projection, what I get is that's what it looks like. It's not what's going on with me, but I get it that it looks like that to a lot of people. Interestingly, it doesn't look like that to shy people. They recognize it immediately, okay? So then it's a matter of, all right, I know that this is how this is perceived. I know that's how it's interpreted. It's really up to me to work on this, because I can't actually expect people to go beyond themselves for me. So if I want to get along with people, have people feel comfortable, then I need to work on the behaviors that I have around being shy so that I can be someone that people can feel comfortable with and not self-conscious around. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now, if I feel bad about being shy, or I dislike them for misjudging me, or then I'm just going to be stuck in a really unproductive place. So if we can agree, okay, you're doing something that people perceive as bullying. You know, who knows what it is? But at least some of the people are perceiving it that way. So can you take that on as a project? Not as this is a personality flaw that you need to overcome, but this is a circumstance in your life that's leading to unhappiness, and you would like for it not to lead to your unhappiness. Are you with me so far?
I'm with you. I'm just really struggling to take that on because I actually feel bullied by them, by constant criticism of me. And so,
yes, of course.
It's not fair, Jerry.
That's right. It's not. But that's not what we're talking about, is it? Yeah? So it's like, I mean, You don't even actually ever have to like these people, okay? All you want to do is be able to get along at work in a way that causes you to be able to enjoy your life. That's it. So I'll tell you another little story, okay? At one point, I worked with this woman who was very tiny, just a physically tiny person, and she had kind of a tiny voice, and she worked in a place with a lot of really aggressive people, and her job was such that she had to give them often news that they didn't want to have, okay? And they would come in and they would yell at her, and she would talk to them really quietly in this little voice, and the more she would do that, the more they would yell at her, and it was just awful. And when she came and started talking to me about it, she was at the point of quitting her job. And so what we practiced was that she would lower her voice, consciously lower her voice, stand up whenever anybody was on the other side of her desk, and say whatever information she needed to deliver in the loudest voice she could manage. And it changed everything because people felt like she was taking them seriously, like she was meeting their energy, that she understood what was going on, and that she was going to do what she needed to do to help them. Okay. Was any of that actually different for her? No, nothing was actually changed in or about her, but she became somebody that people could relate to in a way that helped them be comfortable, and the result was it worked better for her.
So have you got any clues? I mean, because I have no sense of what it is I could be doing.
This is where I think it would be helpful for you to enroll your manager and just say...
I already have. I've been continually asking for her support, but she's joined with the two people that I'm having most difficulty with. So I've got...
That's right. And so what you're going to have to do, I'm going to suggest, is say, look, people, I can't change if you don't give me some help here. Okay? I want to take responsibility for this. I want this to be different. I want to know what I'm saying and doing that is causing you distress. What is it? And then, you know, you hear the information from them. You're reassuring those parts of yourself that it really, honest to God, doesn't have anything to do with you. Yeah? Because it's not your experience. It's a way that you're being perceived. And so you take care of those parts of yourself, and you reassure them that it doesn't have anything to do with them, but you're going to work out a peaceful solution with these people because it's going to make life better for everybody. So you're going to channel Gandhi. Okay? That's who you're going to be under these circumstances. Okay? Somebody has to take the position of being the peacemaker, and that's the role that you're going to play, which is heroic.
Thanks. Okay.
Can you picture it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, find the aspect of you that is Gandhi. Find that aspect of you because you have it. You have the person who can go in there and be the biggest person in the room, can be the one who is confident enough and gracious enough and kind enough, compassionate enough to say, okay, somebody's got to take the first step into a peaceful solution. That would be me. I'm taking the step.
I mean, I did already say to my manager if she continues to have this perception that I'm bullying, but that I then request that they give me some counselling to help me, help me to see what it is that I'm doing. So I've already said that to her, and I don't know what the outcome of that is, but I've continually said, you know, I'm very willing to take responsibility for my part in this.
Yeah, but not for my part in this, because what that says to other people is and you have a part too, and that's going to make them defensive. So what you're not going to take responsibility for your part. You're going to take responsibility for the whole thing.
Oh, gosh.
Because you're the biggest person in the room. Because you're the one who is wise enough and compassionate enough to take this position.
I already have a sense. I already know that on some level, but I just feel that there's a kind of a bit, you know, the bit more that I need to do, which is
that's right.
The bit that
that's right. And here's the thing about it, and you know this to be true. You're the one who's going to be transformed in this. It's not like you being this way is going to transform them. I mean, maybe that would be lovely. I doubt it. Okay, because people who want to stay in a position of I'm right and you're wrong are rarely candidates to be transformed in a situation. But to be the one who says, it doesn't matter to me. I just want a peaceful outcome here. I just want everyone to get along, to be happy, to feel good about their lives, and to be able to come together and work together, and at the end of the day, feel happy and productive. That's what I want. That's the value. That's what I value in life. And I'm going to be the person who takes a stand for that, whatever is required in that. You're going to be the one who's transformed. You're the one who will come out of it with everything. And you will also come out of it hoping that other people benefit as well.
So when I gave this piece of paper as a list of things that, you know, with the intention of helping out a colleague on a training session, and that piece of paper was interpreted in three different ways. One was that I was being patronizing, and the other one was that I was telling everyone what to do. And actually my intention was to be helpful. How do I deal with that in terms of the fact that everything that I do is interpreted in a negative sense?
Well, it will be for a while because you have the reputation, right? I mean, you as you said, you're the scapegoat.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have to actually prove to people that you are not who they are projecting you to be, and that's not easy. But again, it's your transformation. That's what's going to be happening. So when that happens, you just simply say, gosh, I am really sorry. That is not at all what I intended. I apologize. I can even see how it could look that way. I apologize. And after you do that enough times, you know, what you're going to watch is that people move from you to somebody else. Because there's always somebody in that role, always, everywhere.
So it's,
where
so
people
it's
get together, there's going to be somebody in that role.
So it's kind of like you're saying, it's almost like swallowing it.
It's almost like
swallowing it. You know, they're sort of throwing something, and I just say, okay, thank you, swallow it, and just let it go.
That's right. Just let it pass through. Be an open window. People want to throw things at you, good. There, okay. I often talk about it as, you know, Teflon coating? You
yeah.
know Teflon
yeah.
pans?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. That's what you've got in front of you. It just hits you and slides down and goes nowhere. Doesn't stick. Nothing sticks.
Say, okay, I'll have that. Yeah, I'll have that. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's got to handle the karma. That would be me. I'm a karma recycling center. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, in a couple of weeks or so, you're going to have to get up in the middle of the night again and call and tell us how it went, okay?
Okay. Well, it might take me more than a couple of weeks to
Well, but you want to check in.
Okay?
It's good to check in. You don't want to just leave karma out there, you know, to torture you on its own. You want to get some support too.
And should I call like really, really early before the show so that I can get on first?
Well, you can try it. I'm not sure anybody has devised the actual system for success, but you can try it. Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
Right.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Thanks, bye.
All right, bye. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Yes, calling early is definitely helpful.
Is that's a good technique?
That's based on the number of people I still see here. Yes, definitely.
All right.
Sherry, let me try our sponsors one more time and
all
see
right.
how that goes.
Okay.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues.
From now until December 31st, Zen Blues Quartet will be donating 20% of all revenues generated from CD sales to Living Compassion and Open Air Talk Radio. This music project exists because we learned that how you do anything is how you do everything. So we get to make great music, you get to listen to great music, and together we can support the fantastic works of Living Compassion.
Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life, my mind. What a life, what a life, what a life.
Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
I sure do love it. I sure.
Okay, we have.
Well,
I'm afraid to tell you that we have six more callers on hold here in about six minutes.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a little carryover. I'm very, very sorry.
Yes, and I'm going to encourage everybody to call in next week and call in early.
Yeah.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Anne in the Chicago area.
Hey, Anne. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
What's going on?
A lot of what you've talked about with just about every other caller has a lot of resonance for something that I seem to be experiencing right now. Last year, in the spirit of saying yes to opportunities that come up, I agreed to volunteer with some activities that my children are involved with. And it was a relatively large time commitment.
You have 2 minutes left on this call.
It's a great spiritual opportunity, too, because every time I could see myself starting to flounder, I would just bring myself back and say, okay, you know, you can get through this. Here's how you can do it. Breathe. Do all of these things.
Uh-huh.
And so this year the job has been pretty much the same. But there have been a couple of experiences that I've had with some people that are in this, that are also working, volunteering in this organization. And it's led me to some, I guess, notions of, you know, why am I volunteering? It's led me to question why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I guess there's a part of me that believes that it shouldn't be difficult.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I'm just wondering if there's any guidance that you might have to offer about this. Without getting into too much content, the particular difficulties have to do with, you know, people saying things to me and questioning what I'm doing. And, you know, I don't know, it felt like a lot of judgment at one point. And,
uh-huh.
And so, I sat down last week and said, you know, well, what is it that I'm feeling about this, and started writing it out. And it seemed like, you know, maybe I'm doing all of this just to be liked. Maybe I'm doing all of this for approval. And so it's just led to like a big question mark now with my...
Yeah, and also the why am I doing this when that is so not what I'm getting?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of a, I would project if I were in those circumstances, you know, I'm volunteering for Pete's sake.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're paying me to take this kind of grief.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm
right.
trying to do the right thing here, and then this is the reward that I get. Maybe it's not a good match.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So is that a piece of it? Because
I'm sorry, you have exceeded your time limit on this call. Sorry, we cannot process your call at the moment. Please try again later.
Are you folks still there? Hello.
Sherry, can you hear me?
I can.
Interesting. Yes, you are here, and all the other callers are not here.
Okay. Well, there's just something that we are up against here that we do not understand.
Yes.
Yeah, that signal, that message comes on, and then everybody goes away. So, well, I'm sorry. And I hope Anne will call back early next week and that everybody else will too.
Yes, and
yeah.
As usual, I have a technical homework assignment,
you
which
do.
I will.
Bless your heart, Michael. I swear you are challenged in this. And I don't know what the point is, but I'm grateful that you keep accepting the challenge.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Oh, Sherry?
Uh-huh.
I see Anne back. Anne, are you there? Anne, are you there? No, thought she was there.
I think we must concede defeat and try again next week.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sherry.
Sorry, Michael. All right.
Good night.
Good night.